אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We're reading from the Kabbalah for the Student, page 412, item 15. This is the preface to the book of Zohar. If you don't have a hard copy of the book, you can find the text on kabbalah.info/eng, and you can ask questions live on kab.tv. Relevant questions may be aired. So again, we're reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 412, item 15, the preface to the book of Zohar. I just want to mention what we're talking about in this preface. And generally, there are four introductions to the book of Zohar. The preface to the book of Zohar, I believe, is the most important, because it is a true introduction, a preface. Baal Sulam didn't give different names for no reason. There is introduction, commentary on the letter, introduction to that, and this is a preface. A preface is something that really takes you and puts you in there. It's really like that, because here he wants to explain to us how to approach the Zohar, how to understand it, how to open the book. All the rest of the articles explain to us how inside it we find ourselves better. But the preface is how to enter that place. That's what we need first. Later, there are all kinds of angels and demons and patsufim and lines and all kinds of things. It doesn't matter. But that's later. First, to enter it. So this preface is very important. It disconnects us from the general perception of reality. And with this body we have, we feel what it feels through the five bodily senses. And this preface wants to bring to our feeling, to our awareness, that there are other five senses that you have. You just need to start using them. Just move to the sight, smell, touch, taste, and hearing. They're different. You have another body called a soul. And through that body, that spiritual body, you'll start seeing reality. And that's the only thing we're talking about. This is why there are limitations on the one hand, so as to detach from the current perception. And there are tips for how to achieve the new perception. That's basically, essentially, the topic of the preface to the book of Zohar. Item 15. The third manner is abstract form. Once the form has been revealed while clothed in some matter, our imaginations can abstract it from any matter altogether and perceive it regardless of any substance. What does he want to tell us here? First, he said what he said about matter itself. We feel matter, we attain matter. What I feel is matter. It's the will to receive. That is the matter of everything. We're thinking that there are still vegetative, animate objects, speaking objects, and so on. And the scientists who are Kabbalists explain to us that all the matter we see is actually a force. It seems to us like solid matter because that's how our senses perceive it. But if you delve into the atom, into matter, you see that it's all empty in terms of matter. It's all a force. There is no matter. So that force is what we call matter. The force of the will to receive is the matter of creation. And that will to receive has different forms. The different forms we learn of the will to receive, this kind of desire, that kind of desire, more emptier or more fulfilled, and how we learn these desires and how we feel these desires is called form clothed in matter, or form in matter. So both of these things are very realistic. It's just me, my desire, and what I feel in the desire. In my desire, I feel that I'm solid, that something pressures me, that something is hot, something is warm or cold, or something influences me. I feel various desires with various impressions. And that's my entire sensation of reality. If you take that away from me, there is no me. Who is to say that he exists? So there is matter and form in matter. And there is something called abstract form. What is that? When I felt something before in my matter, some impression, some sensation, I can now discuss that sensation, that form, although it's not clothed in my matter anymore, because I have a recollection, reshimu, something that allows me to fantasize about it. Once I saw an object with my eyes, I tasted it, I felt it, touched it, smelled it, whatever. Tangibly. Now, I can discuss it. Although it doesn't exist in my matter, or as if it doesn't exist in my matter, what is that pen in an abstract way? So Kabbalah says this is not acceptable, because the moment you separate form from matter, you're in philosophy, which is complete false, because you're not in what you're talking about. You can't test yourself, because you yourself are matter, and the forms you take on with that matter are not yours. It's the Creator. The light clothes in you. The light works on the desire and shapes it in different ways. So, as long as the light shapes the desires in different forms, you can talk about your impression from that. You also have to check whether the impression is correct or false, whether you feel like others feel it, and so on, but still you're talking about what you feel in that moment. As it says, the judge has no more than his eyes to see. You attain it. What you don't attain, you don't call it by a name or a word. You always talk from your attainment, from your kli, vessel. If you come out of the vessel, you can't say anything. And that's the difference between Kabbalah and, say, philosophy. Scientists, too, don't use abstract forms that much unless it is for the sake of research. Let's assume that this is... If a scientist is authentic, then he uses it very meticulously. In Kabbalah, this is not acceptable because we attain through our matter, and our attainment is not through imagining and trying to imagine forms in our matter. We know that we cannot take on a form with our matter if the light doesn't bring it to us, because the light has to give us those forms. Those forms we are about to reveal are forms of bestowal, which is why I have no reason to look for them in my own matter. I have to look for how to draw the light, and the light should hammer my matter, so to speak, and shape it in different forms. So, all we have left from those four manners of perception, well, we call it manners of perception, the two we have left is matter and the form of the matter, or matter and form clothed in matter. Such as that are the virtues and the good qualities that appear in moral books, where we speak of properties of truth and falsehood, anger and strength, etc. When they are devoid of any matter, we ascribe them merit or demerit, even when they are abstract. This is why Baal HaSulam is so against morals or ethics. And this is widely used in religion and in education generally. It's like a nanny in a kindergarten tells the children, don't do this, don't do that, and this is how it is in religion too. You have to do everything by forcing yourself, and this is forbidden. And this especially comes from studying abstract forms. What is a righteous person? It's this, it's that, and all kinds of things are told that we see are not realized. Why? Because we are not taught that achieving these things is by the light, that becoming a righteous is something that happens in the world to receive. First you have to recognize the evil in the world to receive, and then see how that evil can be turned to good, and so on. As it is written, I created the evil inclination and the Torah for it as a spice, because the light in it reforms. And moral doesn't work that way at all. It doesn't reveal the actual evil that can be corrected, because the correction can only happen by Kabbalah. And the morals, or ethics, actually refrains from Kabbalah. It only uses a blaming finger or a punishing finger to point at man and turn to him that way, usually. This is why Kabbalists really keep away from this approach, and they don't accept it, this way of ethics. It limits a person, it puts him in, it oppresses him, suppresses him. Who are you? What are you? And so on. This is completely, totally irrelevant for correction. This isn't how a person rises and corrects himself. This is, it's like the left without ever reaching the middle line.
You should know that this third manner is unacceptable to the prudent erudite, since it is impossible to rely on it 100%, since being examined while not clothed in matter, they might err in them. Take, for example, one with idealistic morals, meaning one who is not religious. Because of his intensive engagement in the merit of truth, while in abstract form, that person might decide that even if he could save people from death by telling them a lie, he may decide that even if the whole world is doomed, he will not utter a deliberate lie. This is not the view of Torah, since nothing is more important than saving lives. Yes, please. Oh, that's in Russian. We'll get the translation in a second. In his latest essays about the truth in the world, Bala Sulam depicts Kabbalah as philosophy nonetheless. Can you understand that when we engage in spirituality, when we attain spirituality, we actually attain the abstract form? That spirituality really is the world of abstract forms, and when we attain spirituality, we attain abstract form. This is our friend, our guest from Moscow, who is a PhD in philosophy as well. Well, no, we can never attain the abstract form, because the abstract form is something that exists above matter, and we cannot exist above matter. We don't exist above matter. Something that has never reached me, so how do I know about it? I can't. In other words, if we're researching scientifically, we're always in matter and form dressed in matter, per se. And that's the example that he wants to give now, to explain that if you become detached from matter, so like the form of truth, if it's truth, I don't care about killing everyone, but it's truth. No. You separate the category of truth from matter, and then you're saying that category in itself is sublime, it's genuine, and I don't care what happens with matter. I judge only according to this form, which is abstract. And Kabbalah says, no, you have to judge the quality of truth only within matter, what benefits matter. If it benefits matter to lie, then you have to lie. How can that be? I don't know how it can be. All I know is I cannot exist above matter. I am not present above matter. I can't even test above matter. I don't have an examination in terms of what to do. So if it helps, if it's beneficial to matter that I should lie now, instead of this category of truth which is sublime and floating up there somewhere, then I have to lie. Because I am always within matter. And these forms come and go. And even when we reach the end of correction, we will never know, well, at least for now, what we understand and what we learn. We will not know something that is above, that's not present in our matter. Because what's the end of correction? The end of correction means that all the qualities and discernments, I receive them within my matter. My matter becomes like godliness, totally included of all the qualities. The only question is, if my matter received within it all the forms, what is there to imagine? Everything is within me, in matter. That's true on one hand. On the other hand, it still doesn't give me, theoretically, the ability to transcend matter into abstract form, any abstract form. We are a desire, and we feel our lives within the desire only. Yes. So why do we use this concept, abstract form? Not just abstract form, even the essence. Essence. We picture something. The question is this. What do I understand? What do I feel? What can I imagine? And on what can I rely? It says, a judge has only what his eyes see. Yeah, but I feel. No, we don't care about that. But I heard. We don't care about that. Did you see? If you didn't see, it's worthless. Because before Malchut, there are the first nine sfirot, and they project all their qualities onto Malchut. And Malchut is connected with them. And she pictures, she even senses, before she actually feels within her, all kinds of sensations, pre-sensory sensations, kind of things that she might feel soon. You know, it's the upper nine. I feel them. I feel like the Creator is shining. Something is happening here. True, yes. But is it in your actual senses? Can you measure it? Can you number it? Then it exists. If not, well, it's true that it gives you imagination. You can fantasize, and you can imagine states. Like we're talking about scientists, yeah, they too have all kinds of theories. It works like this or like that, perhaps. But this is not science in itself. It is a part of how to attain reality, how to advance. You advance when all these forms that I imagine dress in my matter. But until they dress in my matter, I don't take it as valid, as certain. We're only talking about two things. What might, perhaps, and a clear-cut boundary that this is in matter and I rely on that. That's why he's given you a very kind of tactile and painful example to our lives. You have the truth in front of you. You have to, you can either stick with it, or you have to see how that truth is then projected into our lives. If that truth, the way it seems to you, because, you know, how is that possible? It's a lie. If it helps matter, people, forget about this truth. Throw it away and take the opposite. Because it's a form that you can't rely on if it's detached from matter. If it goes along with matter, well, great. Then you are on the way of truth. When your matter and the form that's dressed in it, if they go together, that's the best. Yes. What did you find? Baal Salam writes in The Essence of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, he writes, Kabbalah does not use any names and appellations except in their real and tangible form. It's an iron law for Kabbalists. All that we do not attain, we do not define by a name or a word. And here you need to know that the word attainment means the final degree of understanding, meaning before it is completely clear to the eyes in utter certainty, is completely clothed in Malchut, in the upper nine, in a way that in Malchut you also have 5 degrees of Avyut, meaning before it is completely clear to the eyes, as though it is grasped and gripped in one's hand. Kabbalists do not call it attained, but by other names, etc. Max from the Ukraine is asking, so what's the role of imagination to advance? We can see that with science. Philosophy too. You can take it, no problem. But are you using it as a fact? Here's the problem. These things exist in us. Macaron was asking a good question. Yes, why do we need it? So let's never use abstract form and essence, what I am imagining. Without imagination, you're just an animal. You're not speaking. A human. The beauty of humans, of what is above the beast, is that we know how to feel those upper nine. An animal lives inside Malchut, inside matter, and says it's only the form clothed in matter. The fact that we have the abstract form and the essence is how we evolve. That's what makes us human. But you can't use it until it permeates your matter as an animal. You understand? That's the paradox. You take pride in being human, above your body, in your mind, but you mustn't rely on it until you do everything in favor of the body. Just like you learn in the Patsuf. You have a masach, and you examine your desires, precisely. On your desires below the pe, you calculate only in the rosh, and the rest you don't, only according to the matter that can receive the form. And you work accordingly. Yes, but there is, yes, there is. We call those kelim, external kelim. You have external kelim. You have shosh neshama guf levushei chal. You do. Can you use them? No. You don't control them. They're levush neichal, outside of you. Levush is clothing, heichal is house or palace. When you connect them, and bring the light inside, all of the forms within you. The whole of reality will be one reality. He is one in his name, one. No problem. At the end of correction. But before that, the abstract forms promote you. By that, you can connect to the upper one to see, to test, but not to actually use. You actually use only according to your desire, if it's willing, ready to receive this form or not. That's a problem, because we're confused in our lives, and look what we're doing to the world. Only because of this confusion. I always receive the desirable instead of the factual. And they make plans. Look at those fantasies of all those parties. The plans they make. Look what people do. It's all because they rise above matter. Let's continue. Page 413. Indeed, had one learned the forms of truth and falsehood when they are clothed in matter, he would comprehend only with respect to their benefit or harm to matter. In other words, after the many ordeals the world has been through, having seen the multitude of ruin and harm that deceitful people have caused with their lies, and the great benefit that truthful people have brought by restricting themselves to saying only words of truth, they have agreed that no merit is more important than the quality of truth, and there is no such disgrace as the quality of falsehood. And if the idealist had understood that, he would certainly agree to the view of Torah and would find that falsehood that saves even one person from death is far more important than the entire merit and praise of the abstract quality of truth. Thus, well, he's not at all certain. How do I know that it's truth? It seems that way to me. I'm imagining. In my imagination, above matter, according to my fantasies, and we know that what's true today appears as a lie tomorrow because our desires change. All of our facts change. Because the desire changes, so matter changes. That's it. The form and matter from yesterday doesn't seem that way to me anymore today. That's why we mustn't receive. But then you can say, huh, what are you saying? You're saying what's today's form that's dressed in matter is true today. It's correct today and you work accordingly. But tomorrow I won't work according to that. I'll throw it away and call it a lie according to what I'll see tomorrow. True. But tomorrow, I'll be working according to what I'll have tomorrow. You always work according to the desire and form in the desire at the moment that you're attached to it. That's what we should do. And I don't care if 500 years ago I thought differently. And in 200 years I'll think differently again. A new life, new sky, new land. But if we decide, we decide as a fact now. And that's it.
So, herein lies the question. Can we judge others? Can we judge higher ones or smaller ones? This already brings us to, well, something we'll learn in the portion Mishpatim of the Zohar. How do we match these things? Compare these things, the higher levels and the lower levels. How can I judge the lower one if he's right according to his degree? So we'll see that all the mistakes and all the problems and all the trials and punishments are in order to bring us into form clothed in matter. These are corrections allowing us not to go to abstract forms. Well, that's not exactly our topic. The Zohar specifically takes care of that because it is the... Here you can quickly start imagining all kinds of mystical things and fantasies. And our body actually likes it because it entails less suffering. Limiting yourself to form clothed in matter is the actual correction. What is form clothed in matter? Let the form of bestowal permeate your matter. You can't. It doesn't go in. It's horrible. That's why the Zohar takes care of that this harshly, this specifically. Because if you imagine abstract forms, you can think that you're already in bestowal, in infinity. Thus, there is no certainty at all in those concepts of the third manner, which are the abstract forms, much less with abstract forms that have never clothed in any substance. Such concepts are nothing but a waste of time. Besides a waste of time, it also induces a lot of troubles. Think about it. If we were able to make realistic calculations in this world, I'm not talking about the truth that we're all connected in one system and so on, but just egoistically, simply, we would live like animals without spare redundant fantasies. Correct, but without mistakes too. Okay, let's read on. Item 16. Now you have thoroughly learned these four manners. Matter, form, form in matter, abstract form and essence. Intangible things. It has been clarified that we have no perception whatsoever in the fourth manner, the essence. And the third manner is a concept that might mislead. Only the first manner, which is matter, and the second manner, which is form clothed in matter, are given to us by the upper governance for clear and sufficient attainment. Through them, you will also be able to perceive the existence of spiritual objects, meaning the upper world's abhya, since there is not a tiny detail in them that is not divided by the four above manners. If, for example, you take a certain element in the world of Bria, there are kelim there which are of red color, through which the light of Bria traverses to the dwellers of Bria. And the kli in Bria, which is the color red, is considered matter or object, meaning the first manner. And even though it is only a color, which is an occurrence and manifestation of an operation in the object, we've already said that we have no attainment in the essence itself, but only in the manifestation of an operation from the essence. So we will always see what's colored already. Doesn't matter what color, but it has to be colored first for me to see it. In our world too, if the light would not stumble upon something, run into something, I wouldn't detect any light. When you go out to outer space, there's darkness, but there should actually be light. Nothing hides it. Why is there darkness? Because there is nothing for the light to run into. If you put a metal or a paper in space or something like that, then it starts shining because the light runs into it. Because you need some resistance in order to feel. And this is why matter is needed here. Without matter, you can't say that anything exists or doesn't exist. What Bensi? Yes, Yossi from New York says that he found in the introduction to the Book of Zohar that Baal HaSulam used the word essence, saying that the essence of the souls is the will to receive. So he's asking, what does he mean by essence? Okay, we'll talk about it later. Good. Remind me the question. I don't want to confuse you. Okay, well, he says there that the entire essence of the soul is the will to receive, meaning its entire power and intensity, beauty, complexity. That is what he calls essence there. The whole gamut of what you can say about something. Here, when we say essence, it is the first primordial cause that we do not attain. So it's a different use for the same word, that's all. And even though, and the godly light, which travels Sorry. And we refer to that manifestation as essence or matter or body or kli. And the godly light, which travels and clothes through the red color, is the form clothed in the object, meaning the second manner. For this reason, the light itself seems red, indicating its clothing and illumination through the object, considered the body and the substance, meaning the red color. And if you want to remove the godly light from the object, the red color, and discuss it in and of itself, without clothing in an object, this already belongs to the third manner, formed, removed from the matter, which might be subject to errors. This is a light before it clothes in the kli. For this reason, it is strictly forbidden in studying the upper worlds, and no genuine Kabbalist would engage in that, much less the authors of the Zohar. It is even more so with regards to the essence of an element in Briah, since we have no perception whatsoever even in the essence of corporeal objects, all the more so in spiritual objects. Thus, you have before you four manners. The kli of Briah, which is the red color, considered the object or the substance of Briah. Two, the clothing of the godly light in the kli of Briah, which is the form in the object. Three, the godly light itself removed from the object in Briah. Four, the essence of the item. Thus, the first boundary has been thoroughly explained, which is that there is not even a single word of the third and fourth manners in the whole of the Zohar, but only from the first and second manners. You see how meticulous, precise he is, so as to bring us to have contact with the book, not what we think it may contain. Only matter and form in matter is what the Zohar is about. You want to understand what's written, not what you're imagining, then you have to be ready with your approach that this is what you're going to discover. Okay? Yes. Say there is a form called joy clothed in my matter, and a moment later it's not in my matter anymore, so I have a perception of it. I know what joy is. Really? No? Well, can you use it again? Well, not use it again, but I know what joy is now. Well, let me ask you. Once you were happy, did you try bringing that joy back? And then what happened? Can you go twice into the same river? I'm asking. Well, it's a different kind of joy. Okay, it's different. Good. So it's different. You can't discuss what you had. It's not the same thing anymore. What you can say is, I have an idea about what this is. But it's not a fact that you have it now. We're talking about facts. You say, I have an idea about the first nine sefirot. I know about these things. Correct. But you can make a calculation only when it is about to clothe in your matter. This is where we should understand what is the rosh of the partzuf. We spoke about it. I said that it's the same desire like in the goof. And I'm calculating the same desire, literally. And I receive that form clothed in my matter. I do, but only on the condition. it clothes or it doesn't. I test it. But without the actual test, tangible test in my matter, how can I decide? This is how it is in the spiritual Paltzuf. I am facing a pleasure. Well, I'll take 50%. How? How do you measure? 27.5. How did you measure? You have 613 pleasures, 613 desires. It's a whole mess. So you take the desire and you take the pleasure and you have the tzimtzum that overrides your desire, allowing you to measure the pleasure in your desire on that condition that you don't enjoy it for yourself. We don't understand it. We need to have that quality. But I am measuring with a form clothed in matter. I just do it on the condition that I'm not going to actually do it now, besides for the sake of testing. And then I am receiving everything. But that condition is created by the Rosh. After the test, after the measurement, the condition is removed, and I receive those forms. And that is called Toch. I just remove the condition from that place, and the Rosh becomes Toch. You see, so the decisions are very, very concrete. They're in the same place that you're going to operate. In our life, it doesn't happen that way. That's why in spirituality, as you advance, there are mistakes. But the mistakes are done by the upper one in order to teach you. The lower one doesn't make mistakes. This is why we explain that there is really no punishment or anything. It's all a study. Yes. Sasha Ludovskoy from Moscow is asking, so what is the memory? Where, in what matter is it recorded?
We register all of our impressions there. They exist in our reshimot, in our recollections. But because they exist in our recollection, in our reshimot, I can relate to it as abstract form. True. But I'm forbidden to work with it in the current state. You understand? I can't measure, I can't work with a reshimot, a singular for reshimot. You want to work with it? Fine, realize it within the desire. Can you imagine what truth is? No. Put it into matter and see how truth is clothed in matter and then work accordingly. What does it mean work accordingly? Compare them so they will not be conflicting or contradicting, and perhaps you'll have to cut off I don't know how much of the truth to equalize it with matter. In a way that you can hold it. How do we relate to children? Truth is truth, you know, you can give them whatever. What do you give them? You don't give them truth. You cut it, you prepare it, you shape it the way that it's good for their matter. That's it. That's how we should do with everything in life. These things are always seemingly imagine and you know, people with great minds and all that begin to go wild, because all of our mistakes in life are when we fantasize instead of testing things realistically within matter. All mistakes come from that. It's a human degree. Humans fantasize and all that, true. But after the fantasy, you have to bring yourself in your matter to that fantasy. Meaning, I want to clothe in this grand thing. That's great, but you're not there yet. Yes, but I want it. So, now you have to take that abstract form, demand the light that reforms to promote your matter to the level that makes that abstract form not abstract, but dressed in matter. But we don't make those corrections. That's the problem. We're all fantasizing instead. Look at the plans that all kinds of CEOs and parties do. But are you promoting a person toward that? You don't. So that's why it's not dressed inside with everything. Now it's appearing more and more clearly and tangibly. Yes, Niv. I wanted to ask, what's my gauge to know if I'm not breaching the boundary? Because in the end, I'm the one who's saying I'm in form and matter, from dressed in matter. What's the outside boundary that determines that I'm making the right discernments? Didn't understand. Is there anything else but me? Now we'll get to the next item where he says that there's none else besides you. There's another limit to understand reality, to perceive it correctly. That's it. What? So to begin with, the whole thing is subjective. So, well, there's nothing but subjectivity. Of course. Of course, everything is totally subjective. What's objective? Outside of me? There's nothing outside of me. I just annex everything. I connect everything outside of me to me, and it becomes me. And then all these shapes that are seemingly outside of me are within my matter. Your desire and his desire, all these desires that now seem alien to me, I connect them to me. That's me. And then there is no place, no room for anything that belongs to that external form that's abstracted from matter. I don't have a problem with things being seemingly outside of me. No? Because the only limitation to be within my matter, but there are other matters or other desires, they're not others. Start connecting them to you. Start taking these forms as connected to you, these desires, and you go back to the same rule of matter and form dressed in matter. But now the matter will be made of all of everything, or all of them. Well, bit by bit. Take it easy. I know it takes a while. Don't give up on the mercy and the light reforms. Yes. Is my next degree an abstract, a form that's abstracted from matter? My next degree, I imagine it as opposite. I see it as opposite from me. And when I see it, when I feel it, it is abstracted from my matter. I can't dress it inside. I don't want to dress it. But I relate to it as to something desirable. I don't imagine it. In corporeal reality, I can fantasize me being like this, like that. In corporeality. In spirituality, you can't imagine yourself, if you're in spirituality, as me being this or that, because I'm repelled by the upper one. The upper one is opposite from me. He's showing me how I should give more, and I don't want to give. It's a form that I don't want to receive. So I don't have a problem in spirituality of taking this degree and being in it. The upper one presents it against, versus my matter. It seems dark to me. Now I should make an effort, though, through the group, by connecting a few desires from them. And when I do, the upper one doesn't seem opposite anymore. And then I ask for correction from the light that reforms. I can't rise to the next degree unless I add to myself foreign desires, so they become as mine, and in them I discover the additional degree. Last one. Bala Sulam writes about it in letter number 4. All you need is to go into a field which the Lord has blessed and pick up all those weak limbs that have fallen out of your soul and connect them all into a single body. And in that complete body, the Creator will put His divinity eternally. And the fountain of wisdom and light will be as a never-ending spring. And a few messages, a few announcements before the end. Friends of the world, please pay attention. The Thursday lesson was moved to Saturday, 8 p.m. Israel time. All the friends are invited to be with us and connect to One World Kli. For details, write to group at Kabbalah.info. Connecting to the new generation, a global mega congress between January 22nd and 24th in more than 40 countries around the world. Come and join the congress near you and connect to the next degree. For details, go to KabbalahGroup.info. This concludes the lesson. All the best. Have a good day and great night. צלחת מעופפת הניצבת מול עיניי ואת כולנו היא אוספת מן ההר שבסיני היא נטשנו הסינה ובאחד אמרנו כן כך קירבנו השכינה משתלב לי שבור שנה